If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be carried on from where Johnny left off earlier. Tonight we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness. So we'll be looking at verses 13 through to 14. So verse 13 through to 14. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true truth, and it speaks truly about each and every one of us. And cause us now to understand what you have to say to us, challenge our hearts, renew them, refresh them, take me out of the picture, and point your church to Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't know if many of you guys have heard of Paul Washer. He's an American pastor, and Paul Washer tells a story and paints a picture of a man who is standing, covered head to toe with leprosy. And he was the type of man you would have smelt before you would have seen him. He was covered in running, oozing body fluid, bloody sores, and he smelt like a rotting corpse. This guy here, his leper, he has tried everything to make himself clean with no avail. And so somebody then steps in and they wrap this guy in a beautiful white linen sheet to cover up all his sores, some way trying to make him presentable, thinking this would help in some way, shape, or form. But about 5 minutes later, this beautiful white linen sheet, it's soaked through with blood and pus. He looks a mess. He looks even worse than he did before. He's helpless and hopeless, and he's in a pretty bad state. But then all of a sudden, God steps in and takes that filthy rag off him, makes him clean inside and out, and clothes him with his own perfect garment. And it's a garment that is fit for a king. And really this story is many of our stories tonight of how we have been clothed in a righteousness that is not our own, brought from sinful rags to Jesus' righteous riches. We have been made fit to stand before a holy, holy, holy Almighty God, spotless and clean. And so as we look at our passage, it's important here to recognize that Paul is writing to those who are in Christ, those who are clothed in this righteousness, to those, as Ephesians 1:13 shows, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me get you guys to think with that in mind. Paul is painting us in the picture of one of being enlisted into an army, not just any army, but God's army. And it's an army that God himself, he provides for in our spiritual warfare, not ourselves. You see, each piece of armor represents a part of God's strength that he has extended to us when we become his children. And as we have seen over the last couple of weeks, Paul outlines the strategy and the plan of the enemy in our spiritual warfare. And really, Paul, he sums it up to this, that we must put on the whole armor, that we must take up the whole armor if we are going to be victorious in this battle. See, Paul is reminding us that we must be aware that Christian life is a war, it's not a playground. And the sooner we learn it, the sooner we will experience the victory God has for us in Jesus. But let me get you guys to think tonight. The question I want you guys to think about are these. Do you really want to stand firm? Am I genuine about this spiritual warfare? And am I living the kind of righteous life that enables me to engage well in this spiritual battle? And so the second piece of armor Paul draws our attention to is this breastplate of righteousness. But we've got to think, what does that word righteousness actually mean? Dictionaries describe righteousness as a behavior that is morally justifiable or right. However, the Bible's standard of righteousness is God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, and every behavior, and in every word. You see, we don't declare what is right and what is wrong, do we? God's very character is a standard of what is right. And so this piece of armor to which righteousness is compared is this breastplate of righteousness. Now we've got to ask, what is this breastplate of righteousness? You see, Paul the Apostle is describing an image of a Roman soldier who is prepared for battle. And a typical soldier, he would have wore this breastplate. It covered all his vital organs, especially his heart. And it was fitted with loops and different buckles that attached it to a thick belt. The belt of truth, like Johnny showed us this morning. And if this belt was loosened, this breastplate would have slipped right off. You see, both go hand in hand. Both work together. They are not a mismatch. And no Roman soldier in his right mind would have ever went into battle without this breastplate. The same way no soldier or the same way no policeman today would go to war or go out on patrol without his bulletproof vest on. And so what Paul is saying to the Christian, to you and me, is that we shouldn't go into battle without our breastplates on either. Why? Because a breastplate of righteousness protects our most vital part of any man or woman, our heart. But why, as a Christian, must I protect my heart? Why must I guard my heart? You see, the Bible shows us that out of the heart, the springs of life will flow. You see, our heart produces everything that flows out of us, from our words to our actions, to our loves and our hates, to our motives, our pleasures, and all that our life produces. But wait to hear this. The Bible then goes on to tell us not only does everything flow from our hearts, but also our hearts are sinful and deceitful and desperately wicked. And Proverbs shows that we are to keep our hearts with all vigilance. And really the picture here is one of a stream that is polluted from the source, that is now affecting everything that it flows into. See, our hearts are polluted because the Bible teaches us that we are born sinners. See, our hearts is what keeps us alive, don't they? And the same is so for our spiritual heart. We need to look after it. And so Christians need protection through this breastplate of righteousness from the great accuser in our daily life. And so Ephesians 4:1 calls us to live lives worthy of the calling with which you were called. We are to live lives worthy of the calling with which you were called. Secondly, we are to seek and pursue personal righteousness and live out a holy and a pleasing life to our Lord. Romans 6:13 encourages us in saying that we should present ourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life and be members to God as instruments of righteousness. See, the Bible, this breastplate here is calling us to put on, is calling us to stand firm in a devout and a holy life. You see, righteousness is living in a way in which God expects us to live and not just be Sunday drive-through Christians in a sense. But why is righteous living a good thing for the Christian to do? You see, by putting on this breastplate of righteousness, we are displaying that our lives are new in Jesus, that you are a new creation, that old things have gone, but all things have become new now. You see, anyone who has truly been saved, they will start to hate sin. They will start to seek this righteous life as God constantly works in you to sanctify you. See, not only are we new creations, but Jesus has also told us to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, Paul is encouraging us tonight as Christians to seek to become righteous people as we obey God's law and walk in his ways, by living out the truth of the gospel and the hope that we have in Jesus. But maybe you're thinking, I've got a lot of questions here, Jamie. Why do I have to keep fighting this fight? Why should my new self, my new heart, be seeking and pursuing and practicing righteousness? Why should I continue to keep standing firm? Because the Bible teaches us by this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. That's 1 John 3. So I wonder, do you have this evidence in your life tonight? I wonder, does your life truly show that you are of God? But don't get me wrong, I know The Christian life is hard. It's not a walk in the park. It's not easy. It's very tough day in, day out. People will accuse you saying you're not a very good Christian. What are you doing that for, Jamie? Why are you talking in that way? Why are you watching that? I thought Christians are meant to be perfect. I'm sure a few people have heard that. I've heard that before. You see, we need this breastplate of righteousness on to guard our spiritual heart from our own unsubmitted life, our unsubmitted ways to God. Because the schemes of the devil will dive in there trying to ruin your testimony and ruin your relationship with God. In Zechariah 3, we see a wonderful story about robes of righteousness that have been given to our friend Joshua. And what we see is that later on in this story, Joshua is called to live out this righteousness that has been given by God to him. It says the angel of the Lord gave Joshua a charge to be holy. In verse 7 of chapter 3, it says, "If you walk in my ways, Joshua, and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house, have charges of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here." And really here we see Joshua recognizes that he has been made righteous by God. And so he is now compelled to live out this great salvation in a righteous and pleasing way to our God. And let me tell you, we are called to do the same. To live in a way that reflects our Lord Jesus and his righteousness imputed, credited, attributed to Jamie's account, to your account. We are to put on the new man by loving the things that God loves and hating the very things that God hates. We are to put on God's righteousness and be imitators of him who has loved us and called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And so when we put on this breastplate of righteousness, it enables us to stand firm and act righteously and well in all we say and all we do. You see, the Bible is calling you and me to be pure and blameless by living worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus. So I wonder, are you submitted to God's ways tonight? Or do you compromise? Do you take hold of how you act? Do you take hold of how you reflect this righteousness that has been given to you? You see, if you're not living in a way that reflects Jesus, then you have no defense against the devil's accusations. You will also lack assurance of your salvation. You will lack power to attack. You will lack power to stand firm. Your testimony of your lips will be, in a sense, ineffective. And of course, your neighbor won't be won for Jesus. And the devil will not be defeated. You will just blend in like a chameleon to your environment. See, Paul is showing us the seriousness and the strength that our conduct and our character brings. That as we live righteously, we resist the devil's deceitful schemes. We resist his many temptations. Maybe you're thinking, how must I live well for Jesus? What is my fuel and my hope for all this? Prayer and the study of God's word, which are held together by total childlike dependence in God. Heading back to verse 10, in the strength of his might. See, prayer and the word will guard our minds, protecting them from the devil's lies about God. Prayer and the word will guard our emotions so you don't feel distant from God, but feel close. Prayer and the word will also guard our conscience so you love to live a life that glorifies God through his guidelines. And prayer and the word will finally guard our hearts from the attacks of the devil and lead us more and more into childlike dependence on him and not dependence on herself. So let me encourage you to be busy in prayer and be busy in the word. Seek God's help. Ask him to help you more and more become like Jesus every day. Ask him to help you more and more to reflect this righteousness that has been attributed to you. However, don't get me wrong. Living a life well for God is a good thing. But would you hear this? It's not a saving thing. You see, when we exercise greater willpower and resolve, we must also be pointed back to this complete, total confidence and dependence on God's provision. You see, our breastplate of righteousness is of God and it's not of ourselves. Our works will never be sufficient, nor will they ever save us. You see, no matter how excellent the soldier's armor, we would not expect a soldier to do well in battle if his previous diet and exercise had not prepared him for the fight. And the same is so for us. The spiritual disciplines and godly patterns in your life that we live out and what we've just talked about, they help prepare us for the battle. They are a good thing to be doing as Christians, to grow in that word sanctification. However, they're not the ultimate victory in the battle. You see, the reason we can stand firm and live righteously is this: because our confidence is not in our efforts, but in God's provision. See, Jesus has lived and died and brought us into the most righteous life that you and I could not. You see, our God has made a way for us to be righteous when we were far from good and far from God. We have one who is a match, in a sense, for the devil. One who we should draw confidence from. The Bible shows us that it's God's gracious initiative in putting sinners right with himself through Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You see, it's because of Jesus that Galatians 2 shows that we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, it's no longer Jamie who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh is by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and gave himself for me. And because of Jesus, we now delight in his commands and desire for our ways to become his ways. And as we wear this breastplate of righteousness, we begin to develop a purity of heart. By wearing this breastplate, it creates a lifestyle of putting into practice what we have truly known and believed in our hearts. As our lives become conformed to this image of Christ, our choices become more righteous. Our godly choices also protect us from further temptations and deceptions and schemes of the devil. And my friend, this is why we get in week in, week out. This is why we can handle our weeks. This is why we're able to stand firm. This is the Christian breastplate. Our ultimate stand and victory is in Jesus' righteousness alone. 2 Corinthians 5 says this: for our sake he made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that people like you and me might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that amazing? Who would do such a thing but our God? And if we head back to Zechariah 3 again, first we must notice this, that before Joshua, who had been called to act and live a holy and righteous life, we see first of all that God has provided him with a new heart, a righteousness for Joshua to stand against this great accuser. See, Joshua with clothes and his own filthy rags. Satan stands at the right side, accusing him, declaring him unfit to stand and to minister. And then the angel of the Lord intervenes, saying, take off his filthy clothes. And in the place of those filthy clothes, the angel gives him rich garments. And this is our story. It displays for us the righteousness of Jesus that has been given to the Christian. The clothes Joshua required were not something that he mustered up himself, were they? But rather they were something that was given to him. You see, when God steps in and saves you, he gives you a breastplate that is issued to your very name. Wait till you hear this. It's also specifically designed by God to protect your heart and your soul from the evil one. You see, this breastplate of righteousness is Christ's name stamped on it. It's as though, as Jesus said, your righteousness is insufficient to protect you. It's as though Jesus would say, I wear mine, I'm giving you. So we can be encouraged, can't we, tonight? This is what we have. This is why you have a place even around this table tonight. In this righteousness alone, Joshua was able to resist the accuser's accusations. And the same is so for us tonight. The hymn writer got it right in saying, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst of flaming words in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift my head. Thy blood shall stand in thy great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay. Fully forgiven through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and from shame. That's nice, isn't it? We've been justified by grace through simple faith in Christ crucified. You've been clothed with a righteousness which is not your own, but Christ's. And you stand before God, not condemned, but accepted. This is the final defense against the devil. He can slander you no more. Why? Because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? You stand in the strength of God's might. He makes you stand firm and live well for Jesus. It is God who justifies, who can condemn. You see, it was Christ Jesus who died. It was Christ Jesus who was raised from the dead and who is at the right hand of God and is even now pleading and interceding for us. That's what Romans teaches us. And so be encouraged, Christian. This is your righteousness tonight. We have one who holds us fast. We have his strong breastplate to protect us from all these fiery darts of the devil. And when that day comes, which it will, when our temptation is so great, we should not say, Satan cannot touch me because of how truthful and how righteous and how faithful I have been. Rather, we should say this, I am protected by the truth that though I feel weak, I am strong. That though I may fall, I possess Christ's righteousness. And though I am not perfect, I have peace with God, who has provided the faith I could not, the salvation I could not earn, and the spirit I daily need. That's our confidence tonight. It's in Jesus, isn't it? In his righteousness alone. Not only have we seen that righteous living flows from God's provision in Jesus' applied and supplied righteousness, so I wonder, as we close tonight, my final question is this. And it's a question that Isaac Watts asks. And it's a question that he asked me as well. It's this. Are you a soldier of the cross? Ask yourself that. Are you a soldier of the cross? Are you armed and ready for battle? Or maybe even, are you even in the army of King Jesus at all? Let me ask, whose righteousness do you stand in tonight? Your own or Jesus's? Because there could be some of us here, tonight who are not actually members of this army. There could be some of us who don't know what it means to be enlisted as God's very child. Because you have not come to that place of repentance and total dependence, where you have trusted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're thinking, I've heard the gospel time and time again, but I wonder, have you truly believed it in your heart of hearts? I wonder, have you transferred trust from self to Jesus? Because the Bible teaches me and teaches you, I'm sure, this breastplate of righteousness is not for the non-Christian. And it's not for the lukewarm one either, but it's for the true born-again one. Maybe you think, I've lived a pretty good life up until now. I've done this and that. I've probably been a near better Christian than most Christians in Green Island Baptist. And you think that God in some way will be merciful and make up any deficit when you come to meet him. Maybe you think I'll be the last person to be a follower of Jesus. The Bible tells us about a man called Saul of Tarsus. And he was a man who knew the reality of that last question. He was a Pharisee. You say he's a religious man who persecuted Christians. He was a man who relied on all that he did. And this is how he viewed his life. But what changed? He met Jesus. He came face to face with Jesus on a road. And his entire perspective on life changed. He's seen that his righteousness, his background, his even behavior, his approach just wouldn't cut it. But he now has a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. He's seen that he couldn't justify himself. Only another could. I wonder, do you see this tonight? Do you see that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life? I wonder, have you met Jesus yet? You see, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death and eternity in hell. Maybe try to shoot your righteous arrows up to God, but of course they're not going to hit, are they? They're not going to meet his standard. You always miss. You always come short. But wait till you hear this. The gospel makes us feel worse before it makes us feel better. The Bible goes on to say that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So I wonder, do you see your need of this gift of God? Of this eternal life? If this righteousness was come through repentance and faith alone in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So let me encourage you as we close. Throw away self-trust and place your trust in Jesus tonight. Because there's only one righteousness that passes the test. There's only one righteousness that meets God's perfect standard, and that's Jesus' righteousness that qualifies people like you and me for heaven. That takes away that condemnation, that wrath of God. And so Paul's boast, Joshua's boast, our boast, is thrown away from ourselves when we realize that it's because of God that we are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? It's because of God that we are in Christ Jesus, who has become wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that it is written, the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. You see, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we are called to not trust this sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. And someday he will come with trumpet sound. I wonder, are you then in him to be found, dressed in his righteousness alone? I wonder, will you stand faultless before the throne? So as we close, are you found in him? Are you trusting in him? Is your hope in Jesus tonight? Are you dressed in his righteousness alone? And if you are, that's the best news you'll ever hear. That's the best news in the world. Let me encourage you to rest in this righteousness which is yours in Jesus and be transformed by the Spirit of God more and more, day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, into the likeness of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ.